Too bad some other folks are still coming in, but they're going to miss out. But they'll get here as soon as they get here. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 18. I'm going to talk to you about something here. I'm going to talk about churches that are shacked up. Churches that are shacked up. Where do you get that at, preacher? Revelation chapter 2, verse number 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, write these things, saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. What do we have here? We have a church that is being seduced by a prophetess, and we'll get to that and explain what that is, by Jezebel, which really is not a good name to name any daughter. If you ever have a daughter, don't name her Jezebel. It's probably not the best name to name her. That's be one that you would stay away from. Unless you are blatantly satanic, then you would probably do that. Jezebel? My stars. Anyway, all right. Poor girl. Anyway, that suffers that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every man, every one of you, according to your works. What's he saying here? He's saying there is a church out there. There's a church out there, and there was at that time. And it's a picture of other churches. I'm not preaching to you the ages of the church or anything like that. I'm simply saying to you that there were churches then like that. There are churches now like that. Just like that. There are Laodicean churches. There are Philadelphian churches. There are churches of Thyatira. There are churches of Ephesus. All seven of those churches, which study the number seven out, okay? Then you'll understand why God is doing that. It's a completion. It's a perfection. And he's doing that. He's showing you that, hey, there's all kinds of churches. There's seven different kinds there. These things will show up in churches till I come. These things will be there. But he's talking here about a church that is shacked up. You've heard that term, shacked up, right? That's living with somebody that is not your spouse, that you're not lawfully wedded to. So a church that is being seduced, they are living, they are fornicating on their Lord with someone that they are not married to, or something that they are not married to. They are churches that are shacked. You say, preacher, where do you get that at? Right there, he just said it. He said they're in bed with somebody else. He said, I'm going to leave them in bed with them. If they don't repent, I'm going to leave them in bed with them. I'm going to let them go and I'm going to kill their children. Is it not interesting to you that, just speaking out of symbolically, let's say, is it not interesting to you that 80% of evangelical kids are gone, or 60% or something like that, the highest number, as soon as they're in a church and they leave when they get older? They turn 18 and they curse God and they're done and they're gone in the world, and they're running after a fundamentalist and those kind of kids. They're gone. It's a high percentage. I can't remember the exact percentage. High percentage of them are gone. Maybe it's because the church is shacked up. Maybe the church is shacked up. Well, how are they shacked up? Well, first of all, before we get to that, let's just say you'll notice these churches had good works. I want to dispel some things here first. These churches had good works. This church that is shacked up with something or someone has good works still. So you see today, people say, well, it's still a good, they do some good things. That church does some good things. Sure they do. But it's still fornicating. It's a spiritual fornication on their husband, Christ. They're living with another that is not their husband. They're committing adultery on their head. But these churches have some good things going on. They may have some charities. I talked to a guy yesterday. He said to me, he goes, I was preaching and he goes, oh, well, you know, you probably have your fabrics mixed or whatever. And, you know, cotton and this and that. So you can't preach about this and saying all this stuff. I said, well, sir, I said, I'd explain that to you, but spiritually you can't handle it. You don't have the Spirit of God in you. So if I tried to explain that to you, you wouldn't understand it in the first place. He goes, oh, that's Old Testament. I said, yeah, but you couldn't understand it. If I tried to explain it to you, you wouldn't be able to hear it because you're not. These things are spiritually discerned. He was mocking the preaching. And he goes, what are you kidding me? What do you mean I don't have the Spirit of God? He said, I volunteer my time at the Catholic Charity all the time. Then I explained to him that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And then I started spitting scripture out at him like that. You know what he did? He ran away like everybody else does. That's a fake and a phony and a liar. Amen. You want to point your finger and shut the preaching of God's word up and try to use some twisted scripture like Satan does in order to accomplish that. But when people know their Bibles, you can't stick around. Guess what the devils do when the scriptures come out? They run. Guess what people like that do that say they're Christians? When the Bible's given to them, they run. Wonder why. Because the devils flee when the scriptures come. That's why they can't handle them. You give them too much Bible, they're gone. They'll torment you for a little while, but as soon as they get that Bible, they're gone. You know, that ought to be a key to some of you that have some spiritual struggles and some problems, some torment and some inner problems and fears and things like that. Maybe you don't have enough Bible in you, and maybe you don't preach enough outside. You say, but I'm a woman, I don't preach. You ain't got to preach to somebody else, friend, but you could be in that car when you're by yourself and the thoughts of your heart are consuming you and everything else, or devils are trying to whisper to you, or something is going on. You can preach the Word of God and they flee. That's how it works. That's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't just make the devil disappear. He did it with Scripture. And he took off. He didn't want any more of that. He's like, okay, I had enough of that. I don't like that anymore. I'm done. I mean, Jesus could have went and kicked him right across the universe. Just like, you know, kicked him into hell if he wanted to. Just for fun. But he didn't do that. Why? Because he was our example. And what he did was he was an example to us. And he said, you don't have my power like I do. You can't do these miracles. But you do have this book that is full of these miracles. And it has power. Don't live a defeated life. But these churches, anyway, they're shacked up. But they got good works. They've got some service in the community. They have some good things going. That's the problem today. If a church has a lot of activities going on, people cannot discern whether it's a good church or a bad church. Whether it's right or whether it's wrong. A major problem today with Christians, no discernment. Just very little discernment in things. Very little discernment and able to discern things. It's sad. Just because someone has a lot of activity going on does not mean they're right with God. This church, the church of Thyatira, it wasn't right with God. It was shacked up with another. They were cheating on the side. They were not pure in the eyes of the Lord. They had works. But the Lord had somewhat against them. Maybe they had a good food bank or a good soul winning program. But the Lord said, yeah, but you're still fornicating. You're still shacked up with somebody else. You're still shacked up with Jezebel. You're still allowing Jezebel to seduce you. That's pretty strong language. I think today that most Christians out there, professing Christians, would say that Jesus was not acting like Jesus using that language. The problem is that you can't change who Jesus is, no matter how much your twisted little mind wants to. You cannot change who Jesus Christ is. He is Lord of all, and He does not change. I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He is immutable. He does not change. Learn the attributes of God and understand He is still angry with sin. He still is angry with the wicked every day, and He has not changed. He has not changed His mind about it. He's not just in a better mood right now, and He's putting up with your sin. He is angry with it. And He's angry with this church, and He's dealing with them, and He's saying, listen, if you don't, you say, oh, I don't know about that. Well, He just told them that if they didn't repent, he was going to let them lay in their bed together, and then He was just going to leave them there, and He was going to kill all their children. He was going to burn them up. They're going to be done. This is a good lesson here. I don't have time to go down that road, but I'm going to tell you something right now. there's a lot of people out there that want to say, well, hey, we're not going to go through any tribulation. We're not going to go through the tribulation. We're going to, really? Because you don't think we need any? Seriously? You don't think we need any tribulation? What did he say? I'm going to try you. I'm going to send you through tribulation. Great tribulation. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not making a declaration of this, of some dispensational prophecy. What I'm saying to you is that he is saying simply, hey, listen, that church, is, you're going to go through some tribulation. You don't get right. I'm going to send you right through it. You're going to go through it. You're going to deal with it. I'm going to send you through it. Why? Because I try the hearts. I try the hearts. And you're shacked up with somebody. And you're supposed to be mine. And you're shacked up with somebody else. Or something else. These churches, they were... Man, I got to hurry up. These churches, they were seduced by prophets. By prophetess. You know, they might be a Baptist church or some non-denominational church or some state church, which we'll talk about the next hour. That one's going to be fun. Jezebel stood for no good thing in the scriptures. You study it out. No good thing. She seduced and turned all of Israel away from the Lord their God. She caused them to go a-whoring after other gods. That's what she did. And that's what the lesson that Jesus is giving here with this church. He's saying, hey, you got Jezebel right now. You got that prophetess. And she is teaching my people. She's seducing the church. She's seducing it. She is teaching it things. Spiritual fornication. To eat things sacrificed to idols. What is he talking about? Well, what does that mean? We'll get to that. But what does it mean to eat things sacrificed to idols? Well, how does a church eat things sacrificed unto idols? What they read after, what they follow, what they believe, what they practice. They're eating things. This is the true words of God. This is where we're supposed to get our spiritual meat from, our milk from. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The church needs the word. The church needs the word. It needs the words of God fed to it, preached to it, called to repentance by it. It needs the very words of God. But what are they being offered? They're being offered something else. And it's seducing them. That's what he's saying. Can you not see this today? Is it not all around us today, right now, as we speak? Jezebel's father was a high priest of Baal. She was wicked. She brought Israel down. How about this? Ahab, the king of Israel, married Jezebel. And as soon as that was, man, it was over. You thought Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, caused Israel to sin. Boy, old Jezebel, man, she doubled down on it. That old wicked witch. She doubled down on it, man. She was a wicked witch. Ugh, wicked. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse number 22. And it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu that he said, is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, what peace so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many? What peace can a church have? What peace can they have? When they're being seduced by Jezebel, what peace is there? No, see, there's got to be some warriors. There's got to be some warriors like Jehu that say, you know what? Draw blood. Take that big sword out and draw blood. I mean that spiritually, of course. Take that big sword, that 1611 66 caliber weapon there, take it out and do war with it. And destroy the works of Jezebel and burn it down with this. And the dogs will lick her blood. That's too graphic, preacher. Good. Wake up. You need it. Hope it is graphic. I hope it's burned in your mind. And I hope you understand how much God absolutely hates the wickedness that is going on. That churches are shacked up with the world today. They're shacked up with wickedness today. Because I guarantee you, God hates it a whole lot louder and a whole lot more than I can scream to you today. He hates it so much more. He hates it so much he even wrote about it and said, warn him. An adulterous woman is likened to false doctrine in the scriptures. This Jezebel is a seducer of good churches, and she taught them something that the Lord hates. False doctrine is a sign of these end times. Apostasy is a sign of these end times. But not just false doctrine, false practice. The whoredoms of Jezebel, as long as the whoredoms of Jezebel and her witchcrafts are many in the church today. God, there's not going to be any peace in the church. There's not going to be power in the church. Yeah, you got works. That's great. You got a bunch of works. That's wonderful. But the churches are shacked up. So many churches are seduced by false doctrine. Let's look at one of them here. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. Let's talk about Jezebel's witchcrafts. There is witchcraft in the church today. There's witchcraft in the churches today. Right now, as we speak, there are churches all across America that are participating in witchcraft on Sunday morning. Right now, in this very town. Northfield, yes, in this very town. Take that church called Emmaus. We'll get to that one in a second. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. What does Jezebel do? Seduces. You believe in every word Bible? Do you ever study it? So link it together. A prophetess in that church was seducing. How? Seducing spirits. And what are they? They're doctrines of devils. Do you realize these people are practicing devilish doctrines in the Lord's, supposedly the Lord's churches? I said supposedly. And some of them, according to scriptures, some of them are churches that are being seduced. They are biblical churches that are being seduced by these things because they're shacked up. That's why. They're shacking up. Committing fornication on their Lord. Says here, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Try to talk to some of these people sometime. You ever try to talk to them? It's unbelievable. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. We see today seducing spirits and these doctrines of devils today. Some churches are practicing what's called contemplative prayer or contemplative worship. It's going on right now. Emmaus does it. They send out emails and they brag about it. They're so happy about it. Bunch of witchcraft. You called out that name. I did. Did you hear it? It's Emmaus. Emmaus. The one that's too cowardly to use a Baptist name. Pulls it off. Thank God they did, because they weren't a Baptist church anyway. I'm not going to make myself very popular in this town. Well, since Paul came, I wasn't going to be anyway. I just changed everything. God sent Brother Paul here and said, you thought they hated you, now they'll hate you even more now. Brother Paul is here. I'm just kidding. It's a joke. We're just kidding. People don't, well, they do hate us. It's true they do. And they hate the words of the Lord. But Jesus said, you'll be hated of all men for my name's sake. We really got to get over the fact that we think that everybody's supposed to like us. They should like your message and they should love you in the community. Really? When the community stands for whoredoms, how could they love us? If you're going to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ in these commendations, how are they going to love you? They won't love you until they repent. Then they'll love you. Anyway, contemplative prayer is witchcraft. You're going to see who practices. I'm going to read you a lot of things, so you just have to hang on, okay? More than any other individual, this is from wayoflife.org. David Cloud's got some good records of all these things. So he wrote a lot. I mean, he's gathered a lot of stuff. So I'm going to read you some of his things that he has posted there from other things and gathered some resources there. More than any other individual, Richard Foster has spread Roman Catholic and pagan mysticism throughout Protestant and Baptist churches. Foster's book, Celebration of Discipline, which has sold more than 2.5 million copies, was selected by Christianity Today as one of the top 10 books of the 20th century. He grew up among the Quakers, the religious society of Friends, and was trained at George Fox College, has pastored Quaker churches, and has taught theology at Friends University in Wichita, Kansas, and at George Fox College. The Quaker connection is important because one of their doctrines is direct revelation via an inner light. Jezebel, witchcraft. Seducing, church shacked up. This is defined in a variety of ways since Quakerism is very individualistic and non-creedal, but it refers to a divine presence and guidance in every man. There is an emphasis on being still and silent and passive in order to receive guidance from the inner light. Quaker founder George Fox claimed that he received the doctrine of the inner light without help from the scriptures. I didn't need that Bible. Yeah, you probably wouldn't have got help with that one. This is, David Cloud says, this is an unbiblical and very dangerous idea that opens the door for every sort of heresy. But where David Cloud falls short of, he doesn't talk about the real spiritual problem there. No, it's witchcraft, David. I love your ministry and I appreciate what you've done, but it's witchcraft. Get with it. Understand the spirit of the times. It is whoredoms and witchcraft, and it brings spirits into you. That's what it does. And you are influenced by spirits. That's what it does. Don't fall short, David. Go all the way through with it. Explain what it is.
Amen.
It's easy to see how Quaker philosophy paved the way for Foster to accept Catholic mysticism. It did this by its emphasis on an inner light and its tendency not to judge things in an exacting manner by Scripture. What the Bible says, try the spirits to see whether of God. For many false prophets have went out. Would you say that a church that practices contemplative prayer is shacked up? Is it shacked up? Fornicating on their Lord? Seduced by Jezebel. Other Quakers have followed the same path, and some, like Mary Conroe, have followed it all the way to the New Age. Well, of course, that's where it is. New Age, David. It is. It's all New Age. All of it is witchcraft. It's all witchcraft. Conroe believes in evolution, the oneness of the universe, and the unity of man with God. She traces her New Age mysticism to deep third-generation Quaker roots and its inner light teachings. The adults in our Quaker community spoke often of the inner light, the seed of God, the indwelling Christ. What a twisted bunch of garbage. It is a light within a dynamic center. This is all occultic speak. I mean, can you hear the buzzwords? Listen to the buzzwords. This is being practiced in churches today. This. Wait till you see where it comes from. Because then when you really understand where it comes from, then you'll get who they're really shacked up to. And they don't even know it. Some of them do, but most of them don't. It is a light within a dynamic center, a creative life that presses to birth within us. Richard Foster quotes Thomas Kelly favorably and frequently in his books. Spiritual Formation Bible quotes Kelly as saying, deep within us all, there is an amazing inner sanctuary of the soul, a holy place, a divine center. What is that? Well, you've heard this before in the charismatic movement, right? You've heard that they're trying to get the baby out. They're trying to open up that third eye. They're trying to get to that inner light. Start to see it all comes from somewhere, but it's leading to somewhere. Hang on. You don't know where it leads to yet, but I'm going to show you where it leads to. Because all roads lead to the same place. It gets worse. All roads lead to the same place. Foster advocates Catholic mysticism. With absolutely no qualms, building his contemplative practices unequivocally upon the heretical foundation. He recommends Ignatius of Loyola. Oh, you mean that Jesuit priest? You mean that dog? That founder? That devil? You mean it goes back to Rome? The mother of all harlots? Yeah, that's what the scripture said. It all goes back. Where are they shacked up to? They're shacked up with Rome. And some of the fools don't even know it, sadly. Some do. He recommends Ignatius of Loyola, Francis of Assisi. I hate that name. I can't even say it right. If you say it the other way, it just doesn't sound right. Lee's looking at me funny. He doesn't know what I'm talking about. Benedict of Nursia, Teresa of Avila, Catherine of Genoa, Julian of Norwich, Brother Lawrence, Dominic, Catherine of Siena, John of the Cross, the anonymous author of The Cloud of Unknowing, just sounds bad, Madame Guyon, Thomas Kempis, Catherine Doherty, Eckhart, Thomas Aquinas, Hildegard, not Hildebrand, Francis D. Sales. Anyway, there's too many heretics to list. I'm sorry. Thomas Merton. I thought it said John McCain, but it doesn't. It's John Maine, but you could throw him into the list too. Mother Teresa, Brennan Manning, John Michael Talbot. Yeah, Mother Teresa was one evil lady that went to hell. Foster, but she had good works. Foster's recommendation of these Catholic mystics is not half-hearted. In the introduction of the 1990 edition of Celebration of Discipline, he says that they taught him spiritual depth and substance. He calls them devotional masters of the Christian faith. They're not Christians. They're lost heretics. They're lost apostates. They're devil-possessed people that went to hell. Of the spiritual exercises of Ignatius Loyola. It is a school of prayer for all of us. No, it's a way to conjure up spirits and demons. The spiritual exercises of Ignatius Loyola, it's a way to conjure up devils. That's what it is. Ignatius Loyola, he was the founder of the Jesuits. He was the father of the Jesuits. He was a very evil, wicked man. And he killed and he martyred many Christians. He murdered them by the sword, and still from his satanic teachings today, people are being murdered all over the world. No peace with Rome. None. No compromise with Rome. None. No agreement with Rome. None. None. No truce with Rome. None. There is no warning of the fact that these mystics trusted in a works gospel, venerated Mary, worship Christ as a piece of consecrated bread, believed in purgatory, honored the Pope as the head of all the churches, well, besides the Black Pope, and held scores of other heresies. For extensive documentation, you can see other things. There's a description of Catholic monastic, anyway, I can't say it, a biography of catalog of contemplative mystics. Foster promotes centering prayer. Listen, centering prayer, visualization, guided imagery, mantras, silence, walking the labyrinth, Carl Jung's interpretation of dreams, channeling the light of Christ, healing of memories, direct experiential communion with God, even out-of-body experiences. Why? Because none of it is based off of this. That's how you get away with it. And these churches are shacked up today with it. And America is full of churches that practice contemplative prayer. And mysticism and witchcraft. Foster describes the breadth of his ecumenical vision in these words. God is gathering his people once again. That's the God of his world, God of this world, not our God. God is gathering his people once again, creating of them an all-inclusive community of loving persons with Jesus Christ as the community's prime sustainer and most glorious inhabitant. This community is breaking forth in multiplied ways and varied forms. I see a Catholic monk from the hills of Kentucky, standing alongside a Baptist evangelist from the streets of Los Angeles. Man, I never seen a Catholic monk from the hills of Kentucky. I'd like to see what that looks like. I'm sorry, but I do not picture a Catholic monk from the hills of Kentucky. I got to talk to somebody from Kentucky and see if they've ever seen one of them. Anyway, and a Baptist evangelist from the streets of Los Angeles. And together offering up a sacrifice of praise. It's funny. A sacrifice of praise. Centering prayer is also called centering down. It involves quieting the mind and emptying it of the conscious thoughts about God with the objective of entertaining into a nonverbal experiential communion with God in the center of one's being and thereby achieving direct revelation from God. Translation? Channeling spirits. That's what that is. The practice, that all fits in there, yeah. The practice, Thomas Merton, one of the modern fathers of centering prayer, man, I can't tell you how many people, fundamentalists or so to speak, have his books and talk about Thomas Merton. One of the modern fathers of centering prayer claims that the simplest way to come in contact with the living God is to go to one's center and from there pass into God. What are they? What did Satan promise? What did he promise? Ye shall be as gods. What are they doing? They're not preparing for Jesus Christ. They're preparing for Antichrist. That's what they're doing. And Jesus said that those churches are seduced and they're shacking up with Jezebel. They're in bed with Jezebel. The practice is called this union, this face-to-face encounter, passive meditation. A fourth state of conscience. Savoring the silence, this nothing, the deep waters of silence, deep tranquility. Bunch of Eastern mysticism garbage from the pit of hell. You can just hear it. You can hear it. Why don't people catch on to these? Because they're seduced. And the churches are shacked up. That's why. And you wonder why people won't go to those churches. And then you have preachers say, well, you're just not right with God because you don't go to church. Well, you know what? That is true in one sense. But you know what? When there's nothing around you and you don't know where to find a good church, you got to find truth somewhere. So they find it online. Some of them don't. Some of them find error online. I thank God. This young man contacted me. He said he just got saved recently. And I sent him an email back and praise the Lord for it. But he said the first time that he went on, after he got saved, the first time he went on sermon audio, our church was the first one that popped up. And he just clicked on it. And he said, I can't get enough of it. I haven't stopped listening. He just kept listening. I'm still listening, he said. Amen. That's a blessing. Centering prayer is an attempt to enter into a non-thinking mode. Basil Pennington said in a meditation like centering prayer, you leave the rational mind and emotions behind. Open yourself to the rest in the divine. St. Thomas Aquinas says, where the mind leaves off, the heart goes beyond. Translation? Witchcraft. Who's involved with this movement? Mark Driscoll, John Piper, the General Baptist, Beth Moore, David Jeremiah, Chucky Swindler, Bill Hybels. That's Chuck Swindle. Sorry. Bill Hybels, Charles Stanley. Not Charles! Not drinking orange juice for communion Charles on the beach. Not that guy. Not Charles. But people say, I like Charles Stanley.
He's a Bible believer.
He doesn't even have a King James Bible.
Amen. Come on. Wicked.
Come on, man. Mark Driscoll, the pimping pervert from the pulpit.
Yeah.
Mark Driscoll, stinking pervert.
Preach it. Amen.
Rotten, dirty, foul-mouthed pervert.
Amen.
Talks about things that ought not be talked about. In a mixed company. Doesn't need to be brought up on a pulpit. Then you got pastors. Listen, I got an email this week, well, a couple weeks ago, from a pastor's list. And he's teaching these married—they're teaching married couples and things like that. And what they're teaching these married couples, the book that he's called "Marriage on the Rock," what he is teaching, and the stuff that is explained, in that book, I wouldn't teach in a men's meeting around a bunch of men, because quite frankly, when it comes to relations with your wife, figure it out. I'm not drawing you a map. And I'm not a pimping preacher pervert, okay? I ain't going to explain to you something. Read the Bible. It's all in there.
Right.
Learn as you go, but I ain't explaining it to you. If you can't figure it out, there's something wrong with you. Amen?
Amen.
You don't need a class on it, and I ain't teaching one. Got it? You be a man and figure it out. It's instinctual, I promise. God just put it in you.
Right.
Ain't that right, brother? It's instinctual. You'll figure it out. You don't need a map. Sick. Anyway, so that's not an exhaustive treatise on contemplative prayer or contemplative practices, but do you get the point so far? Does it make sense? You understand what that is? It's mysticism. It's wickedness. It's witchcraft. And it all goes back to Rome. Because the churches are shacked up. They're shacked up. Next, another popular heresy. Another popular form of witchcraft. What's the Bible say in Revelation? What did he say to him again? I'm going to read it to you again. Read it to you again here. Hold on. He said, I Hello. Sorry about that. Are you awake out there now? All right. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my spirits, to commit fornication, and eat things sacrificed unto idols. He said she's full of witchcraft. Jezebel is full of witchcraft. What is she doing? She's seducing them. God says he's going to, Jesus says he's going to throw them in bed with her. That's what he's going to do. And he's going to kill her children. We'll get to that. Now I want to talk to you about the next form of witchcraft that's in the church today. That Jezebel has seduced the churches today. And these churches are shacked up. They're shacked up. They're fornicating on their Lord. The circle maker. I can't tell you people have contacted me about the circle maker that I've heard from. And it's just, when it hit this close to home, I got to talk about it. The circle maker. People talk about it. What's the circle maker? Well, let me just tell you, God never said anywhere his word for you to draw a circle around and pray to him. But there is somebody that teaches that. There is somebody that teaches that. The circle maker by Mark Batterson, a pastor of National Community Church in Washington, D.C. Oh, there's a great place to be. Yeah. Is a book based on the legend of Honi, the circle maker. Yeah, I'm going to teach Christians how to pray from some guy named Honi, the circle maker, the legend of the circle maker. Hey, that's it. That's what we need. We don't need a King James Bible. We need Honi, the circle maker. Does it not sound like somebody from a circus? Hey, it's Honi, the circle maker. Come up in his little clown car. Honk, honk. Come on. That's what it sounds like to me. Yeah, but you laugh, but there's millions of people buying the book. And they're using it in churches, and the churches are shacked up. They're shacked up with witchcraft. They're shacked up in the world. They're shacked up with wickedness. Man, I got to hurry. Oh, I got some time yet. You guys aren't doing anything anyway, so I'll keep going here. The circle maker here. It's a story or fable. Guess where it comes from? The Talmud. Isn't that great? Centered around that. A little bit of Kabbalism for you. A little bit of Jewish mysticism for you. Hey, it's cool. Isn't that nice? And guess who produces a book? Zondervan. Hey, that's a guy we trust, isn't it? Zondervan. I'm sorry, but is it just written on the forehead of Americans today? Gullible and stupid or what? I mean, is it just written on our foreheads? Yeah, just turn on Fox News. Yeah, they're conservative. I'm sorry. I know. It's too blunt for some people, and it really upsets them. But you need to be upset. You need to wake up.
Amen.
You need to be upset, because you can't get right until you get upset. Until you start figuring out there's something wrong. And I think when a guy comes in, I mean, come on, honestly, when a guy comes in and churches want him everywhere and he draws a circle and he starts praying, you might find a link to witchcraft there. You just might find one. I mean, maybe just a little one, okay? Just a little one. The Circle Maker is one of the three books to do a major PR campaign to tens of thousands of churches across America. The book debuted as a New York Times bestseller. And that, I mean, that means it should be practiced in the church. Because, I mean, hey, after all, it's a bestseller. There's nowhere in the Bible that teaches the ritual use of a circle or any other symbol to gain power, protection, or possessions from God. Even so, Batterson tells his readers on page 13. Well, that's interesting. That it would be on page 13. That number 13, that sign of rebellion, that number of rebellion. Hey, Ben. Look it up. I'm not making it up. I just find it fascinating that it's on page 13. That the he tells his readers on page 13 that the circle Honi drew in the sand became a sacred symbol. You know, this guy named Honi, he drew a circle in the sand and it became sacred. Contrast this with the fact that it is widely known in the occult and New Age movement that the circle has been used for centuries in magic and witchcraft to cast spells and to control and ward off evil spirits. Of course it is. They draw that around there so when the witches are conjuring up devils, they're protected and the devils can't take them over, so they think. Witches use those circles to control spirits and such. The circle has many different meanings. One relates to eternity. More often, the circle is used for protection. I'm saying in witchcraft, okay? Understand this. One relates to eternity. More often, the circle is used for protection from evil without and contain power within. The circle within a circle is used for protection from unruly forces. Magic circle. The magic circle, the medieval demons showed how to draw a magic circle, a necessary step in evoking demons, summoning up the dead, and other magical practices used primarily in black magic ceremonies. Well, you know, we went one step further. Oh, Jezebel's brought it into the church, and now we're just drawing circles in the church, and we're teaching children to draw circles and draw circles around everything. They're teaching witchcraft, and it's open and blatant witchcraft. And it's popular everywhere. I mean, the guy looks devil-possessed anyway. I watched a short five-minute clip of him last night. The dude looks possessed. I mean, just looking in his eyes gives me the willies, man. It's just, you look at him, it's like it's spooky. You can tell he's got some devil in him. Of course he does. He's drawing circles around and praying for inner light and everything else. Ugh. Yeah, it is. A magic circle is a circle or sphere of space marked out by practitioners of many branches of ritual magic. This is just Wikipedia. This is common knowledge. This is not Baptist preacher. This is not Baptist preacher talk, okay? This is just Wikipedia right there. Plain as day. Easy to find. A magic circle is a circle or sphere of space marked out by practitioners of many branches of ritual magic, either to contain energy and form a sacred space, or as a form of magical protection, or both. It may be marked physically, drawn in salt or chalk, for example, or merely visualized. Visualization. Drawing a circle around you. Visualization. Folks, I wish you'd understand witchcraft is real. I know preachers don't talk about it. None of them! Hardly any fundamental Baptist you ever hear talk about any of that. It's like they don't think the spirit world really exists. It's not really there. It's just kind of, you know. That was back in the Bible days. There's no witches now. There's no witchcraft going on now. There couldn't be any witchcraft in the church now. Jezebel couldn't be there seducing. They couldn't be shacked up with the world or shacked up with witchcraft or shacked up with Jezebel. Of course not. That couldn't be happening now. I mean, that was for back then. I mean, we know about that stuff now. I mean, we wouldn't be involved with that. This guy tells people to draw circles around themselves, around their kids, and pray. He says, you can't just read the Bible, but you got to pray a circle around all the promises of the Bible. Yep, that Bible's not enough, is it? No, that old King James Bible, it's not enough. No, you got to have something else, don't you? But you got to have a circle. You got to have Honi. Honi, the mystical clown, honk, honk. You got to have him. Yeah, I'm making fun of him. I am. And the dirtbag that made this book that got it straight from a witch in the first place. Scumbucket.
Amen.
Oh, preacher, that's mean. Yeah, it ain't as mean as telling them God's going to throw them in a bed, light on fire, and kill their children. Now, that's mean. Don't speak with authority, though, preacher. Please back off. Ease up. Ease up, preacher. It's only witchcraft in the church. They're only shacked up to the world. They're only shacked up to Jezebel. They're only seducing people. Back off. What are you getting so excited for? What's the big deal, preacher? It don't matter. They're practicing witchcraft. Calm down. Calm down. It's no big deal. Just calm down. Ignore all the emails you get all week long of people weeping because they got no church to go to because these scum buckets are practicing witchcraft right there in their churches. You calm down, okay? I ain't got time to calm down. You calm down. I don't have time to calm down. There's too much at stake. People are drawing circles around your children. Okay? Oh, come on. That's not that big of a deal. I know. For those that are not in a spiritual warfare that want to go to sleep, go ahead. Go to sleep. It's not real. It's no big deal. Let me go back to my everyday life. And watch everything get consumed. And it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu that he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And he answered, "What peace, so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many?" What peace? "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." The circle of Honi, the mystical clown, you know, that circle. Yeah, that would be to eat things sacrificed unto idols. That would be teaching witchcrafts. That would be what she's doing. That would be the seducing going on. And it's going on everywhere. I'm going to tell you something right now. You better thank God for what you have here. Amen. You better thank God for the body that God has brought together here. You better thank God for it. Because there are people all over the world that wish it was right there. And people right here don't care. Oh, preacher, come on now. That's too far of a drive. Far. Really? How come 60-year-old men stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning to watch a service live? They got to get up in a few hours and go to work. Why? Because they're hungry for it. I don't know, man. That's just a long ways to drive. Really? Because I'd drive 3 times as long as I had to do right. I'd do it. Because it means that much. It means that much. But see, Jezebel, she seduced the church. These churches that are shacked up, they're shacked up with Jezebel. They don't care. They're fornicating on their Lord. Number two, and I've actually got 3 of these, so I got to get moving. Because, you know, we're going long here. It's good, though. Number two, and I'm not going to stay on this very long. I'm just going to touch it and then move on because I'm going to talk about it next hour. Okay? But number two, the churches are shacked up in 501c3 incorporation. They're shacked up to the state. They're in bed with the state. Let me ask you a question, and I'm going to touch on it next hour, but if your wife was starting to listen to another man and he offered her gifts and other things and she started looking to him for advice, you'd be upset, wouldn't you? What if she just signed a paper saying that she would marry him? But she stayed with you and she lived with you and she was your wife, but she signed a paper that stated in paper only that she would submit to you, that she would submit to that man, she would follow that man, she would obey that man, and she liked his rules and what he had laid down for her. What if she did that? What if your wife did that? How would you feel about that? Would you be a little conflicted? Would you be a little conflicted if you found out your wife was confiding in another man? Why are you always talking to this guy? Why did you sign a piece of paper saying that you would be his, that he would be the head over you? Why would you do that? But he's not But honey, listen, he's not enforcing it. He says I can stay with you. He says I can stay with you still. I can still be your wife. I can still stay with you. It's just a piece of paper. That's all it is. Would that bother you, Brother Paul, if your wife had a piece of paper like that with another man? Would that bother you, Brother Lee? Would that bother you, Brother Andrew? Would it bother you if someone had a piece of paper that stated that they were the husband, the head over your wife? Oh, but that's not supposed to bother the Lord, though. He's fine with that, right? No, I don't think so. He said, I'm going to send him through great tribulation. He said it's fornication. He said Jezebel has seduced them and they're shacked up with the state. They're shacked up with them. That's right. You know, I'm gonna deal with this next hour because I am tired of people wanting me to like back off of it and give them a pass. Really? Tell me something. I had men that came down on me before when I was looking at this 501c3 issue. They said, you're not going to turn your church into a creature of the state, are you? That same man went over to a church that just left his church. He went over to a church and joined a church that was a 501c3 and a part of a creature of the state. But lectured me. But see, I actually listened to it. I actually looked at it. I studied it. I read it. And I actually believe it. So some of us get to push buttons on other people that they're not going to go through themselves. Even if it's just a piece of paper, which it's not, by the way, I'm going to prove next hour. Even if it's just a piece of paper, it's wicked as hell. And finally, churches are shacked up with the world today. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world. But the churches are doing their dead level best to imitate the world. They're doing their best to do an imitation of the world. You know, you shouldn't have to come to church and squint or listen hard or press your ear to try to find some Bible message in there. You shouldn't have to do that. These are the days of apostasy. These are the days of witchcraft in the church. And the church is shacked up with the world. The Bible says, love not the world. These are the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why are these churches so shacked up? Why are they so stuck on the world? Why are they trying to impress the world? The church is not supposed to do the world light. It's kind of like churches, they do the diet version of the world. Well, the world is rich in fat of wickedness. We will be light in wickedness. See, they're going to do diet. They're going to do diet world. Okay, that's what they're going to do. All right. Now we'll do diet world in the church. We'll just have a little bit of. We'll do a little bit. We'll sprinkle in a lot of world. We'll leave a lot of the blatantly stuff out. But now they're not even doing that. I mean, just practicing witchcraft right there. We are to be a called out assembly, sanctified, separated, blood-bought saints of God. We don't need a coffee shop, a new way to pray, a circle, pagan practices. We don't need mysticism. We don't need Honey, the circle maker. We don't need any of those things. We need this King James Bible, be on our knees in prayer, and beg the power of God.
Amen.
We don't need any of that other stuff. We don't need rock music in the church house. We don't need contemporary Christian music in the church house to attract people, to make you feel good. We have too many churches that are shacked up with the world. They want to be accepted. Let me tell you something. You live for Christ and they're going to hate you. You stand for Christ and they'll hate you more. You preach in the name of Christ and they'll run you out of town. But the churches are too busy shacking up with the world to convert sinners to Christ. The church is being converted to the world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. They're being conformed to the world. The church is being conformed. It's moving forward in its progression. Got to get to that next level. And Honey the Circle Maker will get you there. Sure, witchcraft helps a lot. You're a Satanist. I mean, they can get whatever they want through witchcraft, but not eternal life. There are too many people too busy trying to make Jesus cool to the lost. Trying to make him popular with the world. Trying to make the world love Christ and the world hates Christ. You gotta love him. Hate him. They hate him. He's never been popular with the world, and he never will be until he makes all things new. And he banishes everything else out and he burns everything up. Be not conformed to this world. Why do you think brethren have to listen online over to the whole world? Why do you think they have to do that? Why do you think some have to? Now, some just do it because, you know, they want to add to what they already have. But many people do it because they don't have anybody to listen to. Why do you think God is drawing men here? Because churches are shacked up with the world. They're too busy fornicating with wicked Jezebel and her spirit and not living for Christ and not allowing Christ the head. It's about Christ first, that he might have the preeminence. That's what it's supposed to be. That he might receive glory in the church throughout all ages, a world without end. He is to be the focus of the church. He is to be the standard of the church. Let Jesus Christ be praised.
Amen.
Where is the holiness preaching? The call to come out of the world. The call to separate from evil entertainment. You know where it is? It's nearly gone. Oh, there's a remnant out there. But it's nearly gone. I almost believe that pastors try to skate by as much, to give as much truth as they can without offending too many people. And if they can just frame their words right, they won't make anybody mad. And they'll skate by another week, and they'll get their offerings in there. They'll keep their bodies, their bucks in their buildings, and they'll have everything coming in. Folks, you don't need to do that. I'm not doing it. By God's grace, I'm not doing it. What if people get mad and stop giving? Well, I got a pretty big God.
Amen.
And he gave me two hands and a brain.
Amen.
When I see preachers in training in Bible college all over Facebook talking about pastoring in the future, talking about ministry, mixing things in ministry, then on their Facebook pages, they're full of movies about witchcraft and magic powers and Marvel comics and all kinds of stuff like that in their movie. Now, I call superheroes witchcraft because that's what it is. So, you know, swallow hard on that if you have to, but that's what it is.
Right.
It's all occultic. It's all magic. That's what it is. It's Antichrist. They're replacing Christ, and they're preparing for that one world leader that has all the power. So they're preparing for. But when I see a young man that's in the ministry that's supposed to be trained, that advertises, it's one thing if you're watching those things in private, which I think is wrong, obviously. But why would you broadcast it to everybody? I just went and seen this movie. And these women in those movies are scandalously dressed. Would you want your daughter dressed like, would you want your wife going out and dressing like that? Would you like your wife to wear a tight leather pantsuit and go out there and just walk around like Catwoman? No. Well, then why are you entertaining yourself with it? Huh? Let me ask you, if that was your pastor, would you be excited about that? Oh, great. My pastor's cool. He watches Marvel comic movies. Yeah, that's really going to help you when somebody in your family dies, when you have a bunch of lost sinners in your family, when you're facing all kinds of spiritual battles. Maybe he'll tell you to go watch The Incredible Hulk. Maybe he'll give you a book. Maybe he'll give you a book called Finding Christ in the Incredible Hulk. Maybe he'll give you a book, Finding Christ in the Lord of the Rings. Because that's where his mind and heart is at. I've seen them. They advertise these preachers. They advertise they're watching all this stuff and they're excited about it. Like they're stinking 13 years old or something. Grow up.
Amen.
Seriously, that's no wonder why you're not warring against sin. You're too busy playing. You're shacked up with it. How are you going to war against something you're shacked up with? Why do you think Christ said, I'm going to destroy her and you in that bed? Because you won't repent of your fornication. You're sitting there in that bed. You're going to stay there. How is a preacher feels comfortable enough to advertise wicked movies with Hollywood and magic and scandalously dressed women and all that kind of stuff? How is it that they feel comfortable with that? No holiness, no separation, no godly fear. No concern for how it looks to other people or how it affects other people's spiritual walk. No concern. But you're entertained and you're having fun. And after all, it's about having fun. to add. In closing, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication. She repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. You want to stay in the bed? I'll cast her into bed, and them that commit adultery with her into the bed of tribulation. And I will kill her children with death. Rome and all her little children. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. So you can't get past God. And I will give unto her every one of you according to your works. That's churches that are shacked up. There's more things that could be said, but not enough time to say them in today. But that's where they are. Many of them. Most of them. Shacked up. Fornicating on their Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, for your words. Thank you for the truth of them. Help us to live them every day. Help us to be watchful that we not enter into temptation. Help us to be careful. Strengthen us, Lord. You're our only hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.